This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
To talk about the state, the current state of New York baseball, and to shed some wisdom, we turn to one of the local wise men of baseball. John Harper from SNY joins us now. Hey, John, how are you?
Good, Laurie. Thanks. I appreciate that. Wise. I'll take that any day.
I feel like I need some perspective here because, let's face it, for Yankee fans right now, it feels a little bit like the sky is falling.
Yeah.
And let's start off with a big question I asked actually fans is, well, what your perspective? Can you ever remember a season like this one where both the Yankees and the Mets are currently in playoff position? You know, if the season were to end right now, like both teams are in the postseason, you know, here we are in early August, and yet both teams are playing so poorly right now.
Well, I think it feels like we've had this Yankee season a few times now in the last several years. You know, they get off the hot starts, then they fall back, they have injury problems and things like that. And then they end up, well, for the most part, they usually figure it out and get there, at least get to the postseason. The Mets, it's a little different. That, you know, I mean, the expectations were so high coming off of last year, and they were playing so well at the beginning. Now, I mean, I guess to answer your question, I can't remember a season when both of the teams are in position, in playoff position, but yet the fans, I think, are at wit's end, basically, by the state, because of the state of their team.
Yeah, to have us sit here in August and it's like, well, your team would be going to the playoffs, and yet the fans are angry, annoyed, fed up, in revolt, and the roller coaster of it to come off of a trade deadline where I think both fan bases were so excited. And yet all that goodwill kind of, you know, falling apart pretty quickly. In the case of the Yankees, very quickly. And I don't know if you heard this at all, but in the post game today, Ben Rice made a comment afterwards when asked about, you know, the team and the situation. And he said that the Yankees needed to start playing with a sense of urgency, with more of a sense of urgency. And I don't know, you know, as somebody who's covered baseball for so long, I'm sure Ben Rice did not mean that in any way as a dig at Aaron Boone, but how do you interpret a comment like that?
Yeah, I saw that, and it is tricky because Rice is a young guy. I'm sure he meant well by it, but I think he probably, I'm not sure he was aware of what kind of a firestorm a comment like that can create, you know, for a manager who's already under fire, basically. And half the fan base, at least, probably wants him fired. I mean, sometimes I've been in those spots talking to guys after tough losses, tough series, and sometimes they're just looking for something to say. And maybe it felt like the right thing to say, or maybe he actually feels like the team's not playing hard enough. If sometimes it's hard to read those guys, you kind of have to almost have to be there and feel the body language and everything else. But at the very worst, it's a bad reflection for Boone, as you said, because no matter how he meant it, it's going to come off poorly. And with everything that's gone on, especially I mean, you know, the Yankees, they do something dumb every day, it seems like, on the bases, defense, whatever. I mean, and Boone, I mean, listen, I think he did. I thought he had a chance to make a statement yesterday. You know, he can defend the Jazz Chisholm play as a guy. He had a defensive. He thought the guy might let the ball drop, so he wanted to try and get the second. Come on, you can't. You're not going to make it to second anyway. You're 10 feet off of first base. So I thought he had a chance to make a statement there and pull him out of the game and sit him down. Because at some point, I think the manager, whether it's his fault or not, you can take that approach wherever you want. All of this stuff has to be individual instincts on players. But at some point, you got to make a statement, I think, and just say, enough's enough. I'm not going to put up with it. And let the other guys know. Let them know it's not going to be that way. So I thought he missed an opportunity there. And then now you got to wonder, after this Rice comment, whether the heat's going to be turned up on Boone even more.
The other thing that was unusual that happened this weekend is you've covered New York baseball a long time, and you certainly are covered and know Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez. And what is it? Were you surprised by how tough their remarks were on a national stage? That Jeter saying the Yankees making too many mistakes, A-Rod saying there's no accountability. What is, and then now Aaron Boone is having to answer for that. Were you surprised by those comments? And in your experience, what kind of pressure does that now add to Boone?
Yeah, I mean, not so much by A-Rod. He's been tough on Cashman in recent years. He's called him out a few times for moves he made or hasn't made or whatever. The Jeter stuff, it's more because, Jeter, I mean, we all know when for covering him all his career, he rarely said anything critical of anybody. So for him, I know he's in a different role now, but even so, for him to say that, and it's not like he was specifically calling out Boone, but just to kind of make the case that, they're making too many mistakes, and something has to change, that, again, it reflects on the manager. Any way you want to slice it, it reflects on the manager. So when you start, this stuff starts to add up. Player on your team, whether the comment was meant that way or not. And then Jeter and A-Rod, former Yankee stars, making those kind of comments. I mean, Hal Steinbrenner at some point is going to hear all this stuff. And, he's going to, I think Cashman would defend Boone, to the end of the earth. But I think at some point, maybe Hal Steinbrenner starts to hear all this stuff and his team's not playing well and thinks, hey, maybe it is time for a change. I mean, I could see that as a possibility. It's not his nature. We know that. Because he hasn't made those type of moves. But at some point, when this stuff starts to build, I've seen it over the years, it can snowball on a manager in a hurry.
I think that you and I both would probably be in the camp of we're not people who tend to call for a manager to lose their job all the time. It's not necessarily my nature. I don't think it's yours. But as somebody, you've covered this market and seen people, come and go and lose their jobs. Eventually, the one thing that we know about managers, general managers, all those people, is that for the most part, and maybe Brian Cashman will end up being the exception, but for the most part, almost everybody eventually loses their job. At some point, the time will run out. Like, it just happens. And when you've watched that, it doesn't mean a manager's bad, but is it just sometimes that a team needs a change and a new voice? And are you starting to feel like the Yankees may be in that category?
You can certainly make that case, Lori. I mean, it's hard to call for a manager's job when they're still in playoff position, as you said. But it's so many things piling up on this team. And it's the mistakes, the kind of mistakes they're making, the defensive mistakes, the base running mistakes, all these type of things. I think wasn't Pat Riley who said every coach's life has 5 or 6 years is a shelf life for any coach or whatever. I think there's something to that. And Cashman, nobody's had a job as long as Cashman has as a GM. So, I definitely think you can make that case. It's tough to call for the guy's job again if he's in playoff position. But when these things start adding up, I mean, they're going, now they go to Texas. It's a critical series, I feel like. They can't continue to spiral now after getting swept by the Marlins in a couple of really bad losses. So we'll see. I mean, I think if they don't turn around in a hurry, I really do think the pressure is going to start to mount. I mean, maybe Cashman, he'll never react to that way because he seems so firmly in Boone's corner. But I think public pressure tends to add up in a big way in a hurry when a team starts going bad, and all these mistakes are the kind of things you can point at a manager fairly or unfairly.
Yeah, talking to John Harper from SNY about the Yankees and the Mets. All right, so let's look at the Mets. And when, you know, one thing that certainly a day like today where Frankie Montas was just terrible. And then you look up and see the Phillies win on Sunday Night Baseball, and we're reminded again they get 8 innings of shutout baseball from their starter. Did you know David Stearns had a very good trade deadline and really fortified that bullpen? And I understand the point that there were not impact starters necessarily traded the deadline, unless you think maybe Shane Bieber has that potential. We'll see what happens with the Blue Jays, Merrill Kelly. But this Mets rotation, did he do enough at the deadline given the state of the Mets rotation?
Well, I think ultimately the answer is going to come in the form of these young guys, McLean and Sproat. I think they have to be some sort of answer. And I thought it was interesting today that when asked about
Montas?
About Montas, yeah, sorry, after the game. Mendoza basically avoided the question about his immediate future. And kind of when that happens, it tells you that something could be up for grabs here. At the deadline, David Stearns did make the point that these guys are pretty close to being ready. So, I mean, I don't know how much longer you can go with Montas. I really think you got to get these guys up here because even with the moves they made in the bullpen, they have all these really high leverage relievers now, but they're all one inning guys. So you don't have a lot of help in the middle of the game right now, unless you're gonna bring guys like Stanek and maybe Garrett into those type of situations. But I feel like you got at some point, and I've been calling for it for a couple weeks now, because I felt like they gave some games away with bringing some of these guys from the minors to start games who really weren't qualified to make those starts. And I know they don't want to rush these guys, McLean and Sproat, but they're both pitching really well in AAA. I think you got to take a look here because, ultimately, to answer your question, I did think they needed a starter. But to be fair, the only real starter, Bieber's kind of a different category because you don't know what you're getting from him.
Yeah, that one's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, but Merrill Kelly was the guy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Texas Rangers gave up a lot for him. They gave up some of their top prospects, and I don't think Stearns wanted to do that. So it's going to come down to, first of all, Senga and Manaea have to start going deeper into games, or else they're not going to have enough pitching. They're just not getting deep enough into games. But I do think McLean and Sproat could be the ultimate answer to that question.
Yeah, I think that they need to get, they need to get an opportunity. What, you know, in hindsight, is the Frankie Montas signing, even at the time it looked odd, how quickly it almost looked like a panic move from David Stearns, who usually is so deliberate and doesn't tend to panic. But, you know, we give him credit when so many things go well, but the Montas move just seems like such a miss on that contract. And now with the player option, you know, 2 years, $34 million, is that even too much money for owner Steve Cohen to DFA?
Well, he's eaten a lot of money in the past with guys like Scherzer and Verlander. So I would say, it wouldn't say it's enough. I mean, he would eat it if he had to, but I have to be honest. I mean, I've given Stearns a lot of credit for a lot of stuff that's worked out, but I did not like that Montas signing. He signed him early in the free agent period when there was a ton of guys out there, and it gave him a pretty good contract, as you said. I've been told that he kind of counted on, he still knows a lot of people in Milwaukee, obviously, and I think he was counting on what they were telling him, that when Montas went there at the end of last year, he was traded, got there, and they changed some things. They lowered his arm angle, a lot of little mechanical things, and he looked a lot better. So I think he was counting on that carrying over. But he also had that history of injury
right.
that I didn't like. So I didn't understand that one. I thought it was kind of unnecessary. You could have gotten other guys for similar money or more reliable guys for similar money or even less money. So that seems to be the one real bad miss so far. I mean, maybe he'll get it straightened out, but I don't know how much. I just don't know how much farther you go in this rotation with him still pitching like this.
Yeah, I heard the same things that you know. Yeah, obviously, were there and heard from Carlos Mendoza today is that there was a real tentativeness in that answer, and Mendoza saying, when asked about Montas's position in the rotation, well, the game just ended. Like, we haven't had a chance to discuss it type of thing.
Yeah.
Not like, of course he's making his next start.
Right.
So that sounded
the game
like...
just ended. That's usually code for, we're going to have a serious conversation about this.
Right. Like, I have to talk to the front office, but if I had my way, I'm not handing him the
right.
ball again in 5 days.
Right.
And yeah, to your point, I hope we see one of the young kids, McLean or Sproat, soon, because they need more length from that rotation. When we're talking about the hitters, it feels like the Mets offense has been such an enigma this year. And we thought that this would be the strength of the team. We thought that they would have one of the top three offenses, run producing teams in the National League when you looked at it on paper. And yet, they haven't. And earlier in the season, there was a time when the bottom of the order, bottom four, gave them nothing. Now that the bottom part of the order has been producing a little bit, it seems like the Fab Four, the top of the order, has really hit some challenges. And in particular, one player who's struggling lately, Juan Soto, just looks like he's swinging at bad pitches, not his usual self. What do you expect from him? And I don't know, thinking about him as you've seen him, even with the Nationals or other parts of his career with the Yankees last year, obviously felt like he never struggled. But what do you expect from Juan Soto? What can Mets fans expect these last couple months?
He's too good a hitter to keep going like this. I mean, he looks like now, the way, kind of like the way he looked in April when we just started out as a slow start, and it was a slow start. Eventually, he did catch fire in June, we know that. But he's kind of looking the way he did early when he was out in front on a lot of pitches rolling over, and as you said, swinging at pitches out of the strike zone, which is really uncharacteristic. He had that big spot in the game Friday night, and he pitched, and he swung a 1-0 pitch up and inside in a critical spot. I think he was trying to do too much, which is rare for him. So it tells me that he's feeling the pressure a little bit as well.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the numbers earlier. He's hitting 130-something, I think, since the All-Star break, something like that. So it's just it's kind of shocking to see him go through this again after you figure that after he was over the slow start, it'd be clear sailing. Because I don't remember this type of extended slumps last year with the Yankees. Maybe I'm forgetting, but he seemed a lot more.
No, he never had anything. I mean, it felt like he hit. Yeah, I mean, maybe for a week or two, but he never had anything like this with the Yankees last season.
Yeah, and then, but you said it, you're right. It's not just him. It's the whole top four now. I mean, they've all been streaky, and more so than I would have expected. For once, you know, Lindor, again, usually it's the slow start. He starts cooking in June, July, whatever. Maybe it was the broken toe, I don't know, but he went really, really bad for a while. Picked it up again last week or so, but he's still up and down. Alonso up and down, Nimmo the same thing. And to me, that's the key. Is whatever the issues with pitching, if they're not, these guys aren't going to hit the top of the order. I mean, you're starting to get some production at the bottom. But if these guys don't hit, if they don't play like stars, then I don't think they have a chance of winning anything big. That's for sure.
I agree. Stars have to play like stars. The guys, you look at the back of the baseball card, that's who they have to be. If the stars are that, then the Mets can be a potential force. And if not, then the rest is moot, no matter, you know, what the pitching looks like. Pete Alonso. So, you know, just hit his 250th home run. Soon this season, he will pass Darryl Strawberry and become the Mets' all-time franchise leader in home runs. You mentioned he's been up and down this season. He started so fast, was having an MVP caliber year back when we, you know, in April. Yet, and even, you know, June was good. You know, July he hit 141, was batting 141 with a, you know, 548 or OPS. You look at the overall numbers, and by the end of the season, you know, he'll end up 30 plus home runs and he'll end up 100 plus RBIs, but the batting average will have gone down, and 30 plus is different than the guy that maybe we thought would be, you know, a consistent 40 plus home run hitter. What do you think happens with Pete Alonso and the Mets after this season? I think he will obviously opt out, and you know, do you expect a reunion?
Wow, that's a great question. It's so hard to predict right now. Because, I mean, if you judge by social media, they would have signed him back in April to a 9-year contract,
right,
or something, and then again about a month ago. But then now, you know, after this last stretch, you start to wonder, is this the guy? You know, who is he? We don't know. Who is he? Is he going to be consistent enough to justify a long-term deal? I mean, I don't know. I think you're really going to need to see how he finishes the year, because when he's been good, he's been great. But when he's been bad, he's been really bad. And you start to see the strikeouts add up, and that's a bad sign. He's starting to chase again. And so he's looked better lately. But I really got to see the way it finishes, because I could easily see where if he doesn't finish strong, they go ahead and move on. And I think they need him to win a championship with this lineup right now, but he's got to produce. So, ideally, I think there's a way to get him signed to like a 4 or 5 year deal, but mm-hmm. I think he's got to finish strong for them to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Last one before I let you go. How would you handle Mark Vientos right now? He has an 11-game hitting streak, hitting better, but now there is still that traffic jam with, with whether it's Mauricio and Beatty. Jeff McNeil now is going to play more second base. You have Marte also as part of that DH mix, all of that. How would you handle Mark Vientos if, you know, you're thinking about August, September, and potentially into October?
Yeah, well, I would not have pinch hit for him the other night with Beatty when that key spot, it was in seventh or eighth inning. I didn't get that at all. I mean, I know, yeah, he's playing the lefty-righty game, but Beatty has not swung the bat well lately. And Vientos has started to look better. So, and when he's going well, he hits righty sometimes better than lefty. So I didn't understand that at all. I think you got to ride the hot guy, and Vientos is the most hot of any of them right now, of those guys. He's still got the highest upside as far as being a difference maker this year anyway. So I don't like him at third base. We know he's not a good defensive third baseman, but I think there's a way to play him a lot with a combination of the DH and some third base against left-handed pitching. And I'm going to give him a run here because I do think he could be the difference maker. I really like Mauricio's upside, but I'm not sure if he's ready to be an everyday guy yet, especially as a right-handed hitter. So it's a mix and match, no doubt about it. But with McNeil moving back to second base now, I think Beatty's got to be the guy that takes the most of the hit as far as playing time. So I got to give Yentis a little bit of run here and see how he does.
All right. John Harper, always appreciate the wisdom. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Lori. Good talking to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.